What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here's the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hometown Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
I'm your man, Nick Eden. To the left of me, I got my man. Is that Al?
No,
he's still in the car.
Yeah, no, he back out there with the pollen again and the baby wipes.
Oh, God, there he goes. Well, as always, I got my man, 100 grand KG. What's going on with you, player?
Not much, man. Happy to be back at 1,000% with the talk of the town, man. Hey, it's going down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Man, it's been too long, man.
I know, bro.
You know,
it's all good. We'll be back.
Long range and tanto.
I know, man. Can't wait to hear, you know, Charlie call in and holler at the folks, you know, Phil call in and, you know, Nook, all our folks, man, everybody that always show us love, man. We really appreciate you guys riding with us for this long. And we're not going to let you down, man. We're not going to let you down at all. We are back in full effect. Did you not understand this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me get right into it, man. Sales, man. The top 10 looking a little crazy this week for urban releases. As a matter of fact, only one cracked the top 10, and that was Mindless Behavior. I know.
Hey, man, them boys they're getting it, though, man.
I mean, I ain't mad at them. You know, there's some young cats out there doing their thing. But their new album, All Around the World, comes in at number 8 with 33,000 copies sold. Now, I know a lot of people are like, man, that's a low number. But Mindless Behavior wasn't really like a big selling act. They got a lot of press. You know, they got a lot of notoriety, but they weren't a big selling act. But, you know, I haven't heard the album. I'm hesitating. I won't lie to you. But, you know, give the young guys a chance, you know. Give them a chance. Give them a chance. You never know. That could be the next new edition. Okay, I might be putting a little too much on it right now.
Yeah. Which one I'm going to be, Bobby?
I think the one with two big dookie braids, he might be. that might be Bobby. But you know what? The big thing is going to be next week.
What's that?
The big thing is going to be next week. Justin Timberlake. He will score the biggest debut of the year so far when his new album, The 2020 Experience, drops, and it will come in with a projected 750,000 to 800,000. Which will make him number one by leaps and bounds, seeing that the next person in line will be country singer Kacey Musgraves, who's going to be in at like 35, 40,000.
Right.
So, yeah. By leaps and bounds, JT is going to be number one. And you know what I love so much about his album? I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it yet.
Not yet.
Man, it's an R&B album. It is a true R&B album. He didn't come back trying to sound like, you know, doing a Usher OMG type of record. He didn't come back like any of that. He came back and he did what nobody expected him to do, and that was R&B. And you got to give brother props for that, even though he's not a brother. He's our brother from another mother.
Oh, yeah. What you think about him going hard at Kanye like that, man?
Well, I think somebody needs to. Kanye has this thing about him. You know, he says, I guess he feels like he can say whatever he wants because, you know, he's Kanye.
Right.
You know, he's one of the most successful producers, definitely one of the top five most successful producers of the last decade. You
right.
know, one of the most successful acts, you know, and he's a media mogul, and, you know, he feels like he can say whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But then you have someone like Justin Timberlake, who is equally as successful, and Justin's just not going to take it.
True that. I like what he did on Saturday Night Live. He kind of went in, you know, got these rappers feeling a little, you know. He went in a little bit.
Yeah. You know, it's just, it's somebody needs to do it. So.
It seemed like Kanye, man, you know, but Kanye, man, he even though he's been doing a lot of ranting and raving lately, some of the stuff he's been talking about kind of been a little true.
You know, I mean, you can't knock the fact that what you have to appreciate about Kanye is Kanye says the things that other people want to say. They're just too concerned about being politically correct. Quite frankly, I think he'd be great on the Middleman Talk Show. That's
oh, yeah.
Me.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But he take your place, but I got you.
No, he can't. Yeah, he don't want to get into a back and forth with me. I'll put him in his place. Anybody that wears a scarf that tight, you don't want to get into a back and forth with me. But, you know, in situations like that, you're absolutely right. There are certain things that Kanye is saying true, but it's somehow, it's always overshadowed by the way he delivers it and the manner in which he delivers it. Yeah, we all felt the same way, you know, but we didn't get up on stage drunk off Hennessy talking about, you know, Beyonce had the best video of the year.
Yeah.
Compared to what else was up there, you know. Now, I can show you some underground hip-hop acts that, you know, killed that Beyonce single lady video, but, you know, that's a matter of opinion.
Right.
But anyway, shout-out to Kanye, shout-out to JT, you know, just Timberlake coming back. And I think it's another thing that people aren't giving enough credit for. Shout-out to Timberlake. You know, Timberlake and Justin Timberlake have really made a very successful and lucrative pairing over the last 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this is, you know, a lot of producers have fallen by the wayside that came out around the time that Timbaland came out and Dre and all them, but he's still around. He's still doing it big. So shout out to him as well.
Yeah. Man, I'm telling you like this. Them cats on the low getting money. Them the ones you got to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the Ford magazine people right there.
Exactly.
Yeah, everybody want to be in the front. Give me that background, baby.
Yeah, Babyface described it best a few years ago when he called it mailbox money.
Hey, so you just wait on Buddy to ride by and look at the mailbox, huh?
Think about it. That's mailbox money. Babyface still getting royalties, good royalties from Wait to Exhale soundtrack. You
true
know
that.
What I'm saying? A lot
true
of people didn't even know that he produced a good majority of Anthony Hamilton's last album.
I did not know that either.
Fact, the two singles that Anthony Hamilton put out, Woo and Pray For Me, Babyface produced on both of those and did background vocals.
Man, he getting that long bread.
Right. So, yeah. Those cats, and that's what, you know what, I know we sit there and a lot of times, and because it's the era that we grew up in, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, you guys, y'all harp on the 80s and the 90s so much, but you don't understand. It wasn't just a lot of people just getting money for the moment. These people were building wealth.
True that.
I don't know what it is that these, you know, nothing against the new guys, but these guys are building wealth. You look at the guys that are on top of the business, just like you said, on top of that Forbes list. They started in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah. Getting that Fred Sanford residual money.
Like, you look at someone like L.A. Reid, you go from the deal to one of the most influential and powerful men in the music business. Not influential and powerful black men, but just men, period. And what time period did he start? The 80s and the 90s.
Yep.
You can't tell me that there wasn't a singer alive in the 90s that didn't want to be signed to LaFace Records.
A lot of people move here just to get that happening, you know, to get,
exactly.
that, to, you know, get that to happen.
Exactly. So, yeah, shout out to those four of those people. I'll see you in a couple years. on the other topic, Lil Wayne got out this week. Shout out to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
After suffering multiple seizures. You know, they found a high amount of codeine in his system while he was in there. I guess my biggest question is, doesn't that violate the terms of his parole?
Yeah, it do, man. I mean, he going to probably, you know, pay enough people. He's going to pay the people and not have any issues with that, you know. I mean, I'm scared of that whole codeine thing because of what happened to Pimp C, you know?
Pimp C, DJ Screw.
Yeah, Fat Pat.
Right. And my thing is, you know it. You see it. If you know anything about hip-hop history, you know what happened. There's nothing new. I don't know, he thinks he's invincible. You know, and you know, a lot of people went to the, and I don't wish him any harm, you know. And I know people are like, oh, Nick, you're not a Lil Wayne fan. You're right, I'm not a Lil Wayne fan. But I don't wish the brother any harm. I wish him much success. But I want him to take this as a sign. Look, you need to slow down. You need to step back for a second. You need to chill out. But what you don't want to do is end up in a hotel room so nobody finds for 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
Now all the Young Money is sitting there. And Kev, I don't know if you've been paying attention to World Star Hip Hop this week. Did you see Mac Main premiere his new video for his single this week?
I'm going to be honest with you. I saw the Mac Main video posted, but I did not listen to Mac Main.
Am I the only one that finds it ironic that Mac Main releases his single and his video the same week that Lil Wayne is in the hospital?
Well, allegedly, supposed to have been dead.
I'm just saying.
Yep.
You know, I'm not trying to start anything, you know, between the two guys. But, you know,
I'm just glad to see the young man out. You know, he's with his family. You know, hopefully he get the hint. Calm your butt down, like you were saying earlier, man. Hopefully this is a lesson to all the cats out there that's living that life. You know what I mean? Get right.
Right.
I ain't preaching to you. Just saying. I mean, you can die quick. Just realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? One thing, man. This is it's an eye opening experience for people, man. Real talk.
I think it humanizes when you look at him having seizures, and then the same, almost the exact same thing happening to Rick Ross last year. You know, I think that this should be a sign to a lot of those rappers and aspiring rappers out there that, you know, you don't have to, like, I hate to say this, but even if you look at a cat like Drake is not aging well, if you notice.
No, he looks a little raggedy.
From the time he first came out to now, Drake looks like he's about 40 years old.
Yeah, Nick. Wow, Nick.
When Drake came out, he looked every bit of like he was in high school. And now he's like an old actor, type face.
Exactly. And you know what? I think what's so crazy is, I think it's a perfect setup. It kind of fits in with our topic of tonight. It kind of fits in our topic of tonight. This whole say anything we want to say, live any way we want to live, I think it's starting to catch up with them.
Yeah.
I think it's really starting to catch up with them. And it's like now, it's like, what's the next step? What's going to be what sets me apart from every other rapper? Because I'm not being funny. I remember when Ja Rule was the hottest rapper out.
Yeah.
I remember when 50 Cent was the hottest rapper out. There are certain rappers that just, they're there for the moment, and then there are certain people that transcend time. Like, one thing, people love him or hate him, but one thing you have to give Diddy credit for, he is the king of reinvention. He always reinvents himself. Same way with Jay-Z. Even with Rev Run,
how he reinvented himself. You know, and I don't think that this younger generation of rappers has realized that just yet.
Not really.
I don't think they realize that just yet. So, I know we got a few of our people on. We want to go ahead and hit that first song. We want to go right into it, man, because I'm feeling kind of ready.
Yeah, I'm definitely there, man. Tonight, man, we're going to talk about the freedom of speech, hip-hop. And also, Nick, man, we're going to add in R&B because, I mean, man, you know, we just had a controversy with Lil Wayne with the whole Emmett Till, you know, lyrics about, you know, the lyrics about Emmett Till and all the stuff that was going on with him. And to add on to that, Nick, we also have Beyonce with the Bitch Bow Down record, Freedom of speech. Now, how we got this branded out for you guys right here tonight, you know, Many in the hip-hop community began to discuss whether or not if hip-hop need to regain its substance again. Nick, that's kind of what you alluded to right there, man. Will we ever have that substance again in lyrics in hip-hop? And we can also add R&B in there. Now, one thing we want to pose to you guys tonight, you think about this. Should artists be more conscious of their lyrics, or is it just a matter of total expression? Art. We say it's art. We can express it any kind of way we want to. That's what we say, Nick. You're a writer. You might put some lyrics together people may not like, but you're still a writer, and it's art. Is it art, or do we need to add more substance to it? Now, if you guys remember, and everybody that's on the line listening out there on the internet land and phone land and radio land, wherever, you remember back in the 80s, we had groups like NWA, 2 Live Crew, countless other groups out there that was on that hardcore hip-hop, or either that hardcore, straight gangster rap, whatever you want to call it. NWA pushed the boundaries. And if you look at 2 Live Crew, they pushed the boundaries even further and even taking it all the way to the Supreme Court. But back then, we also had a balance. We had groups like P.E., Poor Righteous Teacher, Parrish, and countless others out there that helped balance out our generation. Now, in the current times, we got to look at the lyrics. Everything now is somewhat filthy. It's, you know, it's kind of out there. It's a little, you know, raunchy. But then if you think about it, it's on the borderline of genius. So this is some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. Nick, I know you got to let me know what's going on with that Beyonce song, man.
Well, I do. And first, let me address something real quick. From the perspective of a writer, and I know Al can feel me on this as well, and Kev, even you. You know, don't get it twisted, y'all. Kev, you know, he's got some artists in him somewhere. Kev's been working on the album for the last 4 months. He just ain't
bars.
Yet, but
Ashley, yeah, man, bars. Y'all can joke me, but I'm like Drake. I got that detox.
But coming from the standpoint of a writer, you have to look at the times now as opposed to then.
Right.
Let's look at the 90s. Let's look at someone like Tupac. Now, Tupac is just one of those rare. He was just one of those rare enigmas. He was an anomaly, because for him to put out so much quality music in such a short period of time,
correct,
to where they're still releasing new, unheard, you know, music from him till this day, you know, that's something that was and still is kind of unheard of, because for it to be still the quality that it was, that's kind of unheard of. Like, even with, and y'all know how much I love Biggie, you know, Biggie only, and maybe it was a situation where he was like, I'm not giving Puff more than a couple albums more.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after the third or fourth year of Biggie's death, they started recycling, you know, old grind.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And put them on new remixes. The
pressure
to be creative nowadays, and a lot of people might not agree, but it's a little bit higher than it was in the heyday of the 90s and the 80s and even in the 70s, because of the fact that everything is so content-based. Now it's not just about the 12 songs or the 17 songs that I put on my album. It's how many songs that I have out on YouTube, how many songs I've given as a free download for fans, how many songs that I've given out as this feature. If I've given this song to this DJ, given this song to this DJ, I've given a verse to this person, I've given a verse to this. The demand for content in this microwave consumer society right now is so high that you have to continuously put out content. Now, the thing about that is the content suffers because of it. Because you're putting out so much, that pressure to be creative, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit harder. Now, in the case of Beyonce with this Bow Down record, let me go on record saying first, do I like the record? Absolutely not. After finding out who wrote the record, I understand it a little bit more. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a duo, R&B hip-hop duo by the name of Rock City. They actually live here in Atlanta. They actually go by Planet V.I. now. They used to be signed to Convict. They wrote the record for Beyonce. And it's actually two records that are put together. My issue with the record is this. Is it needed at this point in Beyonce's career? Absolutely not. But in my heart of hearts, I believe it's a leak. Only because the brand of Beyonce that is protected so much, anytime that she's premiered a song, it has been on a grand scale. It's been on such a grand scale. It's, oh, Beyonce is releasing a new song. It's not, oh, it's just going off the radio, we're going to leak it out. No, it's going to be the new song and the video. We're going to premiere it at the end of American Idol or at the end of each night, but we're going to premiere it at the Super Bowl. I really and truly feel like this was a leak, and I feel like everybody in her camp right now is like, damn, we shouldn't have put that. Who's getting fired? You get what I'm saying? There's an intern somewhere that's about to be fired. After they beat his client.
Sacrificial lamb.
But,
hey, man, we got our man Charlie on hold, and we got our man Mississippi Fats, man. We're going to bring in old Fats. Man, what's up, Mississippi Fats?
Whoa, what's good with it, bro?
What's happening with you, man?
Man, just cool and working, man. That's it.
Most definite, man. Now, you see, we're talking about freedom of speech and hip-hop and R&B. You're an artist yourself, man. What do you think about lyrics? I know you've been doing your music thing for a while. What do you think about some of the lyrics that you hear in the records now? Is it straight like art, or is it just filth? Or what is it? It was just genius.
Honestly, my wholehearted opinion about it, because I grew up around, I came up in, I think, you know, the era where music was taken serious, you know, as far as what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it's just, man, it's a black hole, and anybody, you know, that's going to fall in it. I mean, it's just, they're just talking off the top of their heads. Some of it makes sense, but then a whole lot of it don't.
I seen a skit, and Nick, you can chime in whenever you want, man, but I seen a skit with Future. It's a cartoon skit on YouTube. He was in the studio, and the guy was doing the engineering. He was like, man, are you rapping or reading a text? And sometimes that would sound like some of these artists do it.
I mean, most of them reading it, most of them, I mean, I don't know, some of them freestyling it. I mean, you know, a lot of
I got
trying.
One for you, Fat. I can't What's remember that? The song, and I'm going to look it up, but there was a song that Lil Wayne was a feature on for some R&B artist. And when I tell you, word for word, he rapped an Aaliyah verse. Word for word.
Yeah,
he did.
Man, I mean, that don't take any type of creativity. Actually, it's plagiarism, huh?
True that.
He was right. You know,
I guess my thing,
though. As artists, like I said before, I grew up listening to Outkast, Goody Mob, and you know, these are the people that like Goody Mob, they were really on some influential, you know, positive music. And they just smothered those dudes out, and now you're looking for somebody to be speaking positive, and you can kill all the positive, you know, group. You know, and you know, that's just how the industry is geared. You know, they want what's gonna last 6 months, and that's it. You know, they don't want any substance. You know, so I think we as artists have to really think about what we put in our music. We really do. You know,
I mean, if I could play the devil's advocate, and y'all know I don't like doing it, but I'm gonna keep it real. A lot of the stuff that we hear on the radio, man. I mean, the creativity may not be what it used to be. But at the same time, you can't deny that the masses like it, you know, when it comes to what they say on the record. Because, I mean, you can turn on the radio at 7 o'clock in the morning and you're going to hear, you know, Long As My Bees Love Me. You know what I'm saying? So are those lyrics right there, is that the lane that people need to be in? Is there something wrong with that lane? Because you got your Molly, popping Molly, sweating. You got all these other records. Now, are these records right here efficient enough or good enough so we can call it art and support it? Or should we be supporting this?
Let me say this, Kev. I got to say this. And I know I'm going to catch so much flack, but I've been catching flack since the first time I said it. I like Trinidad James. And let me tell you why. The reason I like Trinidad James is Trinidad James is a very intelligent cat. And a lot of people might not realize that by his music, but he's a very intelligent brother. But he has literally taken one project and thrown every type of I almost feel like it's a joke because he's taken every stereotype of a rapper, put it on a mixtape, and turned it into a success. Now, it wasn't a label behind it. So going into continuing playing Devil's Advocate with you, the thing is, whereas before the pressure came from the label to deliver those type of records, it seems like now it's coming from the fans.
Mm. I mean,
because if you listen to his entire body of work, he actually has some decent stuff on there, but he said it himself. Everybody went towards the ignorant stuff.
I mean, and that's because it's been bled. I mean, it's been pushed on you for so many years, you know. Like, the generation listening to music now, that you know, they've been flooded with that garbage, man. So, it's, you know, it's easy to pick up. You know, it's easy to like trash if that's all year round, you know. And that's what the radio is putting out, trash. I mean, yeah, it sounds good, the beats are good, but what is the message? You know, like you say, everybody popping miles and they sweating.
Hey, but I don't know if you remember this though, Fats. Remember too, I brought up Two Live Crew. You know, just pushing the boundaries. Hey, we want some. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
F the police.
True. Okay. I mean, at the same time, those were songs for the time. You know, it's just been around. Miley's been around since the 70s, 60s. You know, that's nothing new. You know, when N.W.A. said F the police, they were beating them across the head out there. You know, when you seen, hey, we want some food, everybody was just, you know, was being freaky. And it was the time, you know, it was time for that. Like,
yeah, but we still demanded those guys to step it up, though. You know, you had Dolores Tucker out there going hard at everybody that did gangsta rap. You know what I'm saying? We had people saying no to drugs at the time. Women groups going at Two Live Crew. You know, it was a, you know,
all
I mean, we had people demanding him to step it up back in the day.
Down, though. We done broke those down. We done tore those walls down. You know, and it really, it gave everybody the right to say what they want to say in their music, which is freedom of speech. But you just can't tell me a bag of, you just can't. You know, you can't sell me anything. I'm not gonna buy anything.
Right.
You know,
you at the crossroad of I can say what I want to say. An artist should be able to say whatever they want to say when they get to expressing themselves musically.
But also as an artist, on the same token, I have to go back and you know revise it a little bit because you can't say everything, you know, because there are kids. You know, that's just the way I think. You know, my music, I try to put a message, or it's going to be something, you know, that somebody can grasp and take with them. And now everybody just got a bag of pills, popping them, dying, you know. That, you know, it's crazy, man, to see how, you know, where it comes from. But I guess that's what, you know, that's our creation.
Most definitely. Man, we appreciate you for your comments, man. You want to get back in the conversation, just press 1, all right?
All right,
appreciate it, man. All right, we're going to bring in our good friend, man. He's been waiting for a while. I know he got some very interesting things to say. Charlie.
Yo, what's going on,
y'all? What's going on, my brother?
Charlie, what's happening? Huh? What's happening, Charlie? Oh, what's happening? First of all, I want to correct someone. I think when you all were talking about people who died or of serve complications, Pat actually was murdered. He was shot to death.
Yeah.
I think he's a Big Mo.
Big Mo was the one with the surf. That's right.
Big Mo.
Heart attack.
But, yeah, I believe this is a very interesting conversation. And, brother, I got to disagree with you on Trinidad. I seriously have to disagree with you on Trinidad. I mean, I understand what you're saying. You think that he's trying some kind of clever subterfuge by manipulating stereotypes. I don't agree with it. It's a unique way of looking at him. I just think the brother want to get paid. And he's figured out basically being a stereotype, embodying a stereotype, that he will get paid, and apparently it's working. And I don't want to divide anybody, but I want to bear in mind that this brother's not an African American. He's a Caribbean American.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the same stereotypes that are going on in hip hop is happening in dance hall.
Right.
And I don't think that this is an accident. I have a whole essay that I wrote years ago about the destruction of reggae. If you look at hip hop, and somebody talks about variety in hip hop, during hip hop's golden age, you had your Two Live Crew, you had your NWA,
right?
You had your X Clan, you had your
right.
Public Enemies and Parasites to balance it off. But
right.
Even when you look at the so-called gangster rappers, they actually had at least one or two records on their albums that dealt with social issues. NWA had Express Yourself. Dope Man was an actual anti-drug song.
Uh-huh.
Remember when he said, if you smoke
yeah.
crack, you know, what we have now is records that lean toward debauchery, that lean towards anti-life behavior.
Right.
And there's no balance to it.
But, I mean, Charlie, you know, like we was playing devil's advocate earlier, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, we have our opinion when it comes to artists, if we like them or don't like them. But when you sit back and listen to the lyrical contents of these people and the things that they say, should we... You know, should we come at them in a manner just to be like almost shutting them down? Because, I mean, I know there was a big controversy with the Emmett Till.
The
Emmett Till lyric with Lil Wayne, man. I mean, you got Trinidad James over here, talking about Molly. But you got Emmett Till comments over here about Lil Wayne and all these other rappers that say certain things. Should we?
Look what happened when the black community came down on Lil Wayne. And then when here's the thing. Here's the difference. The difference is, when people insult the hip-hop generation, we take it because we're afraid to challenge them because we don't want to be called haters.
Mm-hmm.
When you insult the generation previous, the civil rights generation, they shut you down. They organize boycotts
mm-hmm.
or selective buying campaigns. And corporate America hears that. And then corporate America makes a phone call to Baby, and Baby makes a phone call to Wayne, and then an apology is issued. And I guarantee you, Wayne won't say anything like that again.
But how far can we let our artists go with lyrics? I mean,
okay, I'm an artist. I write poetry. There's some things that I say in my poetry that may offend some people, but there is a purpose to it. Okay. If I say something that offends people, then people have one thing. Don't buy my book. Don't go to my poetry reading. Don't attend any function where I will be appearing. And then to an extent, I will either hear what they say and adjust my next poem, which if I'm an artist, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
What I'm saying is, at some point, a good artist, if they offend you, they offend you for a reason. And there is some social redeeming value to that reason.
Right.
Okay. What I don't find in art, in young artists, like NWA, I can defend them. Part of the reason why I'm working on this book called Music and Politics
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, I had a young brother say, man, why are you coming down on us when you wrote about Master P? And I told him, I said, I defy you to read anything I wrote about P and where I said he was a dope MC. I said, what I found with P was that there was some social redeeming value in some of his work.
Right.
Okay, I've listened to Trinidad James. I don't hear it. Now, maybe I'm getting old, but I don't see where Pop the Molly and I'm Sweating as a social redeeming value, considering what Mollies are doing to the brains of young African-American children. Now, I want to bring something up right quick.
And okay.
I want you all, how many of you all are familiar with the anonymous letter that went out about last year?
The one dealing with the rappers and, I mean, you know,
the meeting.
Exactly. Yeah, we talked about that
exactly.
on the show once mm-hmm. before.
Okay, but now what I want to understand is there a connection? I mean, we don't know who this person is. Some people have speculated the meeting never took place. If it did, apparently nobody's going to say, yeah, I was there.
Right.
But what I will say is this. If you look at the degression or de-evolution of social lyricism in mainstream rap after
right.
the L.A. riot and trace
right.
it along parallel, you will see that it deteriorates by the decade.
Yeah, the lyrics of the rappers definitely have deteriorated over the years, but we have those
okay.
jewels in there, though, Charlie. We have a couple of guys that are expressing themselves in a way that you can appreciate the lyricism.
I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater here. I'm not saying get rid of rap music. I'm saying, from my personal point of view, as a hip-hop historian, I see a pattern that is disturbing to me. You know, for somebody who's defended hip-hop,
mm-hmm.
somebody who's chronicled its evolution, this bothers me. I don't, you know, like some people will sit there and say, well, you know, everybody has to do this, that, and the other. I don't have a problem with it, but there's no balance. There's no real balance.
Right.
And that balance, when I'm talking about mainstream corporate rap, I'm not talking about underground rap. I mean, there are groups that I like. I mean, I posted the Cold Boys, Coldboyz, out of Alabama. Love those boys.
Most definitely.
Great.
Most definitely.
You know, who have the message and have the music.
Strange Fruit Project. I love them.
Strange Fruit Project. But will these groups get the same kind of attention that Trinidad James gets?
Right.
Now, Nick, I'm going to ask you a serious question. And I want you to answer it honestly, given what you know about the music industry. When in the height of the golden era could Trinidad James get a record deal?
Trinidad James couldn't even get a meeting.
Pardon?
Trinidad James could not even get a meeting during the height of the golden age of hip-hop.
Okay, now, why is that?
The people, the A&Rs were a little bit more in tune to the music also back then.
Not necessarily because of that.
Why would you?
But at some point, the A&Rs in the country cared about the craft of rap, and they understood that if we are, here's the thing you have to understand. It's not that okay. The subject matter is weak on social commentary, which is my strong suit. That's what I really look for in a rap record. It's also weak on lyrical skills. It's weak on musical skills in some cases. So it's almost as if somebody somewhere is deliberately trying to sabotage rap music, and especially Southern rap music.
Yeah.
It's like, because if you would have brought Trinidad James to me and I was an A&R, I would have laughed you out of the building.
I can't sit up in front like I listen to everything. I mean, I only heard that one song, and the other song he got called Southside. Lyrically,
okay,
he ain't talking about that.
Kevin, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Don't send it. Don't do it.
Make...
I don't want the record. Hey, but we want to let everybody out there know that the phone lines are open. We are accepting calls. The call-in number is 718-508-9972. Tonight we are talking about freedom of speech in hip-hop and R&B. We're talking about Emmett Till. When Lil Wayne going to sit up and make those comments, how he going to beat it down like Emmett Till. We're talking about Trinidad James and the Molly situation. And also old Beyonce with the Bow Down record. Can you say what you want to say? Do your kids need to be hearing this? Do we need to censor these rappers? That's
well,
what I
yeah,
want. Do we need to censor rappers?
Yeah. I got to say this. It seems like every time I'm in the car and it's just my wife and I, we'll crank up that old NWA. We'll crank up that old, we'll crank up almost everything. So-so Death Base, All Stars, just everything. When my daughter's in the car, it's Radio Disney and gospel.
Hey, Charlie, can we get you off that speakerphone? We're getting a little feedback from you, my man.
All right. See, okay. What I'm saying? Like, to be honest, as an adult, I couldn't let my child listen to some of the things that I listened to when I was young, because it's like, because one of my favorite rap albums when I was a kid was Murder Was the Case. There's no way in hell I'm letting my 7-year-old listen to that.
Okay, but Nick, let me ask you a question. In the 80s, you had records that you could let your child listen to that were quality records.
There was a balance.
The problem now is there is no balance. That's why everybody who remembers hip-hop as it was is upset. That's why I'm upset. I'm upset not necessarily that Trinidad James has a $2-point-whatever-million deal and he's going to flood the airwaves and Chief Keef is going to flood the airwaves. I'm upset because there's not enough to live Parlees or Cold Boys in mainstream to balance it off. I'm upset that there's not an Arrested Development to balance it off. I'm even upset that there's not a PM Dawn to balance it off. That's my problem. There's nothing that my granddaughter that I would let her listen to, and she's right now, she's a little baby. I don't even play hip-hop around her. I wouldn't even dare do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hey, Charlie, man, we appreciate you for your comments. We know if you got anything else you want to say, man, press that number one. We're going to bring in the next call, all right?
All right, go ahead. Do your thing.
All right. Dr. J from Dallas, what's going on, man?
What's going on, everybody?
Oh, everything is lovely, man.
Yeah. What's going on, baby?
What's up with you?
Not much.
Reed.
I got writers.
Come here. Come on, Dr. J. That's Dr. Reed.
Hey, I got writer's block, so I figured I'd get maybe a couple laughs to get this writer's block out. I got a paper to write in a minute. But, tell me about it. But anyway, I'm pretty much agreeing with everybody, which is rare. But as far as, like, the product that's putting out, and, Nick, you know, me and you done talked about this for years. It's almost, you know, I say you have the puppet and you have the puppeteers. You know, we talked about a year ago, we were talking about, like, Kaya. Kaya was the puppet. But who's the puppeteer? My
right.
neck, my back, it wasn't nothing great about it. It wasn't even good. You know what I'm saying? Man, there's an autistic kid with nothing but a pinky toe that can write lyrics better than that. I mean, I'm just 50 saying.
Tyson.
Oh, 50 Tyson. There you
50
go.
Tyson.
Yeah, there you go. And, I mean, and that's one thing. Now, when we start talking about our rights, and I think that black people, you know, as a whole, we need to know our rights, all 27 of them in the Constitution. And as far as the freedom of speech and press and religion and all kind of stuff like that, there's a vast difference between your rights and what's right.
Right.
Yeah, just because you have the right to do something, does it really make it right? That's one. Two, especially with most of us coming from HBCUs, there's a vast divide. There's a wall that's been created, and it's almost like the wall was created overnight. When we were younger, and I grew up in Atlanta, you know, Atlanta Public Schools, we knew who we were. We
right.
learned our history. We saw people get hosed down and dogs on. I mean, like, our teachers weren't afraid to teach us that stuff. So, you know, we knew how to represent ourselves when we went out. And, yeah, we had songs that we listened to growing up. When you rolled by church, you turned it down, didn't you?
Most definitely.
You know?
Still do to
oh,
this
yeah.
day.
You know, hey, you had church. I mean, you had songs that, like, that stuff was a like a treat. You didn't get to listen to that. You might have that cousin house at the basement that you go over, you know, at a barbecue, and y'all listen to that song a couple times because you knew good and well you weren't going to listen to it. You wouldn't be so open mm-hmm. and flamboyant and disrespectful. You wouldn't dare let your grandma or your aunt or somebody hear you playing that music, you mm-hmm. know. And listening to the music from that era, when you compare it today is just garbage. So it's like, who's the one pulling the strings that's putting this garbage on the radio? And
well,
now
well,
it's
almost... Dr. Reed, what it would like devil's advocate again? As our good friend Charlie says, we don't have to listen to them, we don't have to buy it, but
yeah.
should we stop them from being able to say what they want and feel like saying?
No, but we
now,
should elevate others.
As an American, as an American, you have the right of your First Amendment right gives you the right to free speech, but does it make it right? If we truly knew, you know, where we came from and as a people. I mean, what's wrong with good music? How about this real music? You know, stuff that actually makes sense. You know, analogies, wordplay. You know, the whole Emmett Till stuff, this dude should have been beat till he got a seizure. You know, somebody should have had a bunch of belts and stuff like that. Because do you know how many people, there was a time in this country where our people, they would kill us for learning how to read. You know, that was an era. I mean, and you grew up in Mississippi, so you knew what Mississippi is like. There's probably still some elements of that today. You know, how disrespectful, how dare you, you know, have a ball. I don't care how big and bad you are. That is so disrespectful to every black Southerner who, I mean, anybody during that era that's ever had to deal with that stuff. This kid lost his life. You know,
right.
that's the epitome of what it was like to live. You know, we lived our lives in fear every day. When young black men left the house every day, you know, there was like a safety protocol. You know, this is how you don't be by yourself. You don't look nobody in the eye. You walk on the other side of the street. You know, we lived in ultimate fear, and this young man lost his life. And you have the balls that come up and try to, you know, make light of that. No, dude, you deserve that seizure you had. And somebody probably, you know, yeah, you probably got jumped into that. No, it's ridiculous, man.
Dr. Reed, thank you for your comment, man. We're going to go ahead and bring in this next caller right here from St. Louis. We got Dash. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Nick? You in there?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Hey, man. First time able to listen to y'all's show. You know, I've been overseas so much, and the internet quality ain't that great over there, man. But back home now so I can tune in to y'all.
Appreciate.
We certainly appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with pretty much everything I'm hearing, but I just want to keep this real short because I got these kids running around here, man. I want to say that the rap game now, man, it's a modern day dope game. You know, it's a hustle for a lot of these cats, man. A lot of these cats that's in the industry now, they come from selling dope, I guess, and they're like, oh, here's a legit hustle now. So let's get in here and spread around this garbage, and for whatever reason, people are soaking it up, man. There's a lot of whackness out there. I find myself listening to a lot of the old school stuff from the 90s when I was growing up. I hardly ever listen to anything new except for Kendrick.
Kendrick Lamar.
Thank God.
Yeah, he's pretty dope.
Thank God
yeah,
for him. Thank God for him, man.
I mean, there's a couple of jewels here and there, you know,
yeah.
But I mean, the main thing is, regardless of how whack these guys are, I'm just wondering, you know, and my thing is that, you know, a lot of these people that say things like Dr. Reed was, you know, kind of, you know, talking about how Lil Wayne was talking about Emmett Till, but you listen to some of the lyrics that these guys say. I mean, even in rock and roll, you look at even country music, these guys have, I mean, they just have the range to say what they want to say. And then it just seems like when it comes to hip-hop, we, you know, certain things, man, we're going to shut them down and don't look at the artistical value of it. Or am I wrong by saying there's any artistical value to it at all?
Am I still on?
Yeah, you still on.
Oh, let me answer that. Well, wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter.
I agree with you. I agree with you 1,000%, Dr. Reed. We're just playing devil's advocate again. We know that it's wrong. But just like the statues of naked Romans and Greeks or whatever, they have his penis hanging out. To some people, you go to the holier than thou church person, oh my God, they got a penis hanging out, that's wrong. But to somebody else, that's art.
Well, what I say that there's certain lines you don't cross. Everybody got a you don't go there line, especially in this era of 24-hour, you know, Twitter, and everybody can, anything you say is there forever, you know. And that don't go there list is, you don't say anything anti-Semitic today, you'll never get a job. You don't say, I mean, so you'll never hear a Jewish rapper or anybody like that dare go there. You know, any Native American in the Trail of Tears, those concentration camps we had in Asia, or Hiroshima,
right,
out there in Japan. You know, you don't go there. So,
well,
in terms of the, you know, you don't, dude. I mean, I'm telling you.
I agree with you 1,000% on that. Well, just not even just the Emmett Till thing. The raunchiness of the lyrics talking about our females. How about the way that, you know, long as my bees love me, or some of these songs that got out here, blatantly just saying, you my whore on the record. Is that art, or is that freedom of speech? I mean, I understand the Emmett Till, man, that's definitely a no-no.
Let me answer that.
Go ahead.
Let me take you back to, if I'm not mistaken, 2004,
mm-hmm,
when Nelly did Tip Drill.
Yeah.
Now, here's my issue with this, and this is from coming from the aspect of being a DJ. Those same young ladies from Spelman who put a stop to his bone marrow rally, that he was actually trying to find a donor to save his sister's life, those same young ladies were part of three sororities, Delta Sigma Theta, Alpha Kappa Alpha, Zeta Phi Beta. All three of those organizations have chants that include some of those disrespectful lyrics when they're talking about each other. All of them have party hops that they do to those same disrespectful lyrics that are playing in the club. So I find it very difficult for you to be outraged at something when the curtain is closed, you know all the lyrics, you have dances to all the songs, you jump up to, and anybody who's ever been to a club knows this, the most disrespectful songs you can possibly think of, the women are front and center in the middle of the dance floor.
It sure
now,
is.
If you're a guy and you're in the club and you see that that's the way they react to that music, what are you going to do? You're going to go out and you're going to get that music.
Yep.
So it's really a case of, is it self-hate? Which I think we should do a show about women in hip-hop. Is it self-hate?
Well, I mean,
because,
you know,
the lyrics gotta stop.
I understand that. I mean, I'm just looking at, like, you know, I mean, one of my guys, Cam, you know, I don't know if he's out there listening right now. I mean, he had a post on the internet, you know, a while ago, man, just talking about how, you know, people talk about each other's lyrics, but, you know, he's like, man, forget about that. I'm going to say what I want to say and how I want to say it when I want to say it, and that is the attitude of a lot of people now. I don't want to harp on that because, in my opinion, you have the right to say what you want to say, like, but I agree with Dr. Reed, there's a line for certain things. But when it comes to the artistical value of it, the content of it, even just the consciousness of it, I feel like some of our artists now have lost that route. You know, they don't know where to go with it. It's like, it's free for all, and I don't want to just get down on artists, man. I mean, to me, artists is the level of expression, and you need to be able to express yourself, you know, to be a true artist. Just like you look at OutKast, from Pimps and Hoes, Cadillac Doors, whatever, whoop, to Space Age, to where they at now. You see the level of progression and expression and the growth in it. If we shut down some of these artists now, we may not get that next OutKast.
It's not about shutting them down, but I don't have to support it. Because the thing about it is,
but what if we would have said we're not going
to
support Southern Play and listed Cadillac music? What if we wouldn't have supported that because they're talking about, you know, slamming Cadillac doors? and everything else they were talking about at that time in their lives.
There's a difference between slamming Cadillac doors and popping a Molly. Big difference.
I feel like they can go beyond.
And let's be honest, there's a bias when it comes to music as opposed to other art forms. Because you look at someone like Edgar Allan Poe, or you look at someone like Stephen King, who they regard as geniuses, and all they talk about was death, and pretty much everything that ill rappers talk about, for the most part, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So there's a big bias there. But let's just be honest. Some of the stuff, it's just like Dr. Reed says, just because you can say it don't mean you should say it. I could walk up to Lil Wayne and be like, hey, Lil Wayne, you know your mama sucked your daddy off. Now, it's probably true. Don't you want to hear that?
But I mean,
it's
man,
right,
you know. But as an artist, though, you know, just, I mean, to me, the veil of being an artist covers a lot of bases, man. Just my opinion. You know, if you wrote lyrics like that, Lil Wayne definitely ain't gonna want to see it or hear it. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean you can't express that.
Let me give you a good example of balance.
Okay.
And he's an R&B cat, but I'm going to give you a good example of balance. And I actually had a conversation with this brother about maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Raheem Devon. Now, you got Raheem Devon, who is, he's known for conscious music and he's known for the sex music.
Right.
And outside of R. Kelly, there's not been that many people to do that since someone like a Marvin Gaye or a Curtis Mayfield. But, you know, this is the same cat that in the same album will have a song like Text Messages, but turns around and has Cocaine Dreams. Or he'll have Customer, and then turn around and has Bulletproof.
Bulletproof,
you know,
I love
it. It has to be a balance. It has to be a balance.
True that. True that.
You know, I look at one of our longtime listeners and contributors, Felt Five.
How can we encourage that, realistically?
Elevate the ones who are doing it. You look at an artist like Felt Five. He has a song like Catch Up to My Campaign, which is, I mean, it's just one of those riding songs. It's one of those classic Southern bass songs, but then he'll have Using Confusion, which is talking about a relationship that's going wrong. You get what I'm saying? There has to be some type of balance. It has to be some type of balance, and we have to elevate those who are bringing that balance to the table. We got to support them more. That's the problem. I'll tell you right now, one of the biggest problems in music today, the fans are lazy as hell.
True that.
The music is no longer served up to you on a silver platter like it once was. You got to go out there. If you want it bad enough and you want to hear some good music, you can go out there and you can find the Foreign Exchanges, the Fontes, the rapper Big Pooh. You can find the Talib Kweli's. You can find them. They're out there. They just need your support. They need you as bad as you need them. But as fans, we're so lazy, and then the way that we come off to other people, it turns them off. You meet somebody that doesn't like that doesn't know who Kendrick Lamar is. One of the first things I hear people say, "Man, you don't know who Kendrick Lamar? Man, you crazy, man. You should have been on this." Now you're making that person feel like they're stupid because they don't know about an artist that you know about. Instead of saying, "You know what? Let me keep you on the cat."
That's funny.
How did we learn about those artists?
Sometimes it be like that, though, man. You do have to be, like, really shocked that you don't know about this.
But you know what? That's not going to turn them into a fan. If anything,
that's
it may turn them away.
That's
Think
true.
About when we were in high school. Think about when we were junior high. I wish Dash was still on the line, because when he and I were growing up, we were going to show up in fourth grade. When he and I were growing up, if there was an artist that I liked that you didn't know about, it, you know what? Here, take this tape. Let me get one of somebody you listen to, and that's how you learned it. You know?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it
was low key bootlegging, but it was like let me double take.
Right.
You said tape. You know that one out the vault right there. put the paper on the top.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying? We have to be more proactive as fans. If it's somebody out there that you really, think about, if you told everybody that you knew about an artist that you were really feeling. Word of mouth is the best promotion.
Yeah,
think about it. You told 5 people a week that didn't know about Kendrick Lamar, or who didn't know about Big Crit, or who didn't know about Tito Lopez.
Oh, yeah. You know,
you
know, that's definitely
five
right.
People a week about your favorite artist.
Right.
Well, let me say something, guys. What I guess the older I get, the lamer I'm getting. I think that has a lot to do with it. But I look at it as a totally from totally different perspective. Is that, you know, in the business world, especially in the medical world, and when I travel here and I travel there, you know, I feel like as black people, regardless of what you do, every time you step out of the door, it's wrong, it's unfair, but that's the world we live in. But you're an ambassador for the whole race. Every time you step out, it is the most asinine thing that we have to experience. So I've been in many arenas all over the world where people just got it wrong, you know, in terms of hip-hop. Like, I'll be in areas when I'm with some young, you know, other young doctors, and they'll put on hip-hop music thinking that it's cool, and it'd be like the roughest, most grindest garbage, whatever. They're like, oh, he black, that's what he's all about, you know, and they make all kind of assumptions. I personally like the Four in Exchange. That's my favorite group. But,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they go hard. But the thing is that we have to be better ambassadors. We have to promote more people like Raheem and stop letting a lot of this trash get out there. At some point, we got to stand up and make a voice. But it's not just in music. It's in everything. We need to start becoming more educated and informed and stop settling. Stop settling and letting people pimp us. We'll be the first one to say, ain't nobody going to pimp me, but you're getting pimped every day.
That's
and
true.
You don't even realize it.
Hey,
so,
man, Dr.
We
Reed, man, we appreciate that comment right there, man. That kind of sums everything up. And, Nick, I appreciate the way that you molded the conversation towards we do have to be better fans. We do have to be more participant in making sure that certain artists do get to that point because we've done it before. We can do it again. No, that.
I want to challenge everybody that's on the line this week. From this Thursday to the next time that we're on the Talk of the Town, I want you to tell five people, regardless of their race, regardless of their background, because we all know that music is a universal language. Just tell five people that did not know about it, your favorite artist, tell five people about your favorite artist.
No, no. Tell five people about the Middleman Talk Show.
And
I don't care.
They get
Middleman Talk Show. We need eyes. Tell five people about the Middleman Talk Show. If you enjoyed yourself tonight, tell them about us.
That's true.
Most definitely. Hey, man, I appreciate everybody that called in tonight. Man, I enjoyed this conversation, man. I'm definitely an advocate of freedom of speech, but, like, you know, I do believe that there are boundaries in music, man. I mean, I try to step outside of my character to make sense of some of the madness, but... That's hard to do, man. But if you're just tuning in or you just made it to this part of the show via download, yes, you can always go back and download this show on blogtalkradio.com/The Middleman. We also, you know, you can go over to themiddleman.com and check out the show over there also. And check out some of the videos on The Middleman film. And if you know any artists out there that need some mastering work done, we do have mastering work. You know, hey, we working over here. We got graphics with, what's the name of your company, man? Plug?
Blueprint FNS. You're killing it.
That's right. That's right. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, hey, we do have things to offer, man. And to all the artists out there, you hear me loud and clear right now. You hear me loud and clear. We would like for you guys to send us records. Make sure they're clean. If you can't make them clean, hey, hit us up at wearethemiddleman@gmail.com. And we can get that clean for you for a fee. It's a minimum fee, but a fee. But we would like to get some of you guys' records on here. We announced this when we brought the show back. But we would like to start playing a little bit more independent music. So for all the independent artists out there, hit us up at wearethemiddleman@gmail.com. In the comment section, put in the music. And then when your song is chosen, we're going to hit you back, let you know what show we're going to play it on, and we're going to try to rock with you guys. And also to all the producers out there, we're looking for instrumentals. We want to replace all the instrumentals we use on our show with yours. Hit us up at wearethemiddleman@gmail.com. And, hey, man, we enjoyed you tonight. And freedom of speech, hip-hop, and we ain't really getting to the R&B, but I'm still mad
at
Beyonce.
Oh, we get to that next week. Next week's show is Ratchet and B.
Oh,
Ratchet and Blues.
I'm looking forward to that, man. To everybody out there, like Nick was saying earlier, tell five. No, matter of fact, tell 10 people. Walk up to them. Hey, you know about the Middleman Talk Show shouting? If you don't, you need to listen. Ain't like you don't know where we at. Make sure you tell them about us. Nick, take it over, baby.
All right, man. You will see us here. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Okay.
8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Do I need to say it again?
Yes.
8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. You still got time to watch Scandal after the Middlemen Talk of the Town goes off.
Yeah, buddy. Warriors!
That's it, man. Hit that outro for us.
All right.
Yeah. Fell five. Middlemen. Yeah. Talk of the Town. Fell five. Oh, follow me at Fell5 on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's the talk of the town, man. It's so ill. We talking real news in the music business here. Take your opinion in the chat or you can call in. Hey, they be going in. Yeah, they be going in on them cats in the industry. Doing more things most cats don't see. Keep your ears to the ground and you will see. Most things ain't what they appear to be. Cut to the chase and the real McCoy. Telling you that they ain't gonna toy around with no issues. Shedding light on dark signals. Yes, and now they own live. 8 p.m. is where you should plan to be on Thursday night. This is a PSA from the One Fell Five. Talk of the town and the show is going live. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me why I didn't even plug the show for this Sunday. Hey, man, y'all make sure y'all tune in to the show this Sunday. I know we got one title up there, but that's about to change, and that show will be moving to the next Sunday. So y'all tune in. 6 p.m. Eastern. 5 p.m.
Central.
What was that? CP time. No CP time, y'all. Black
word.
Hey, man. We out. Whatever. Bye.